Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. While it is true that the gospel means good news, it is so necessary to get people to realize that there is a black background to the shining diamond of God's salvation. People need to realize the solemn and desperate condition that they're in as sinners before a holy and righteous God. And this involves bringing up the unsavory topic of sin. Yes, sin. It is a real thing, though it is rarely mentioned in our daily lives. But the Bible mentions it, and it mentions it often. Why? Because it is our greatest problem. It is sin that is ruining our everyday lives. It is sin that has the world in such a mess. It is sin that will keep us out of heaven. Yes, sin is a serious thing. In today's message, evangelist David Hurley High takes a long, hard look at this unpopular theme. Why is this necessary? Well, unless we face up to our problem, we will never seek out a solution. We will never see the grace and beauty of God's good news. We trust that you will follow along with Mr. Hurley High in order to truly understand the import of the great gospel message.
John 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them. Now I take comfort in that word again, because we often do feel repetitious. It feels sometimes like we're saying things that we said before, we're saying them again. And we do that. And we have good grounds for it. And the Lord Jesus wasn't saying this again because he couldn't think of anything else to say. He was never at a loss of what to say. And yet he knew the value of repeating things, of repeating truth. So if you come to these meetings, there will be times when you will hear the same thing again. And if you do hear the same thing again, not the same message, but the same truth again, then we're being scriptural. We're on the right ground because we're doing what the Lord Jesus said. Because then said Jesus again unto them. They didn't get it the first time. He had to say it again. Not because they were not bright people, but simply because sometimes it's difficult to take this in. It's difficult to let this truth impress you, to let it get a grip on your soul, because we don't like to hear it. We don't like to hear what the Savior said. So what did he say? What did he say to them again? This truth. He said, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, you cannot come. Now that's a solemn verse. Now let us turn over to the same book in chapter 14. John 14. He is speaking here, and he says in verse number 1 that they shouldn't be troubled. Those that were saved, they were his disciples, they had trusted him for their salvation, and they had confidence in him that he was going to take them to heaven. But he says in verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now to the book of the Acts, please, for a final reading, the book of the Acts, Acts chapter 3, and verse number 18, but those things which God before had spoken by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now that's speaking of a yet future day, when he'll be sent to a nation to bring times of restitution, of putting things back the way they were in creation. But look at verse number 21. Whom the heavens must receive. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I'm thinking about three things, three different passages we have read that each convey a thought to me. And I want to leave those. I may not get through all of the passages, but at least I would like to leave the trail with you so that you can go away and at least think about the things that we have said. First of all, when it comes to this that we read, first of all, in John chapter 8 and verse number 21, I'm thinking about people in this world that the Lord Jesus was speaking to. And he said, if you die how you are, heaven cannot receive you. Acts chapter 3, we read in verses 18 and in verse number 21, he is reminding us as he is speaking that it had been told beforehand over and over again. Hundreds of prophecies were given, foretellings of the fact that Jesus would come, of the things he would do. And he fulfilled those things. In fact, it says he didn't just fulfill them. He hath so fulfilled them. In this manner, to complete fulfillment, he has completely completed all that God had for him to do. And in light of that, in verse number 21, it says this, that very one, the Lord Jesus, you can search the tombs of earth. You can search the people of our day, the multitudes, and you will not find Jesus Christ. He's not in a tomb. He was here, but he was risen, and he has been received back to heaven. Because the one that has fulfilled all of the purposes of God, the heavens must receive him, because he has satisfied God. He has so pleased God in the work that he was given to do, absolutely complete, that now he has gone back to heaven to wait. And he's waiting for those that will become his people through faith in him, that he can take them to heaven too. So the heavens must receive the Lord Jesus until a future day when he will come. And every eye will see him as he comes into this world to judge it at a time of tremendous tribulation in our world. Every eye will see him. His coming will be majestic with tremendous majesty and dignity, with awesome power. He will come down upon this world slowly with the hosts of heaven. And there the nations of earth gathered in the Middle East will turn their eyes heavenward and they will see him. And suddenly they will perceive he's coming against us. He's coming to judge us. But prior to that, we read in John chapter 14 of the coming. And the one that the heavens must receive, he's going to come to the air, not to be seen on earth, but silently and suddenly he will come. Heaven will receive those who have received the Lord Jesus. That's the basis, really, of the three scriptures that I've read, and I know I won't go through them all, but there's the thought track that we are going to follow. But I'm going to focus on the first one, not because I want to be negative, but because it is necessary, absolutely necessary, that you understand the context of being saved. What is the context in? Why is it that heaven cannot receive these people the Lord Jesus was speaking to? Was there something wrong with their race? No. Was there something wrong with how they were raised? Well, not necessarily. But heaven has one fundamental problem with these people. And it's the same problem in our world. It's this. Sin. Sin is against God. Sin is against heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, for those who die in their sins, heaven cannot receive them. It is an utter impossibility for you to come to be with God if you die in your sins. Now let's think about that phrase for a minute of dying in your sins. Why do people die in their sins? Well, there's one very fundamental reason why people die in our sins. It's because we live in our sins. And why do we live in our sins? Another very fundamental reason. We're working our way backward. I hope I'm taking you with me so we can all understand it together. We live in our sins because we are born in our sins. There is something fundamentally wrong with ourselves as we are born. Now, I had the wonderful privilege of seeing four of my children born into the world, all four of them. It's quite a moment. It's a wonderful moment to look. And I looked at that monster, the first one, 10 pounds even. He came out ready to eat hamburgers. And there he was. And all the other babies, there they were laying helplessly in the nursery, and he was doing push-ups and screaming for his dinner. That's the way he was. But I looked at that first child, and I loved him. He was my son. He was part of my wonderful wife, and he was part of me. there's something wrong. It's evident now what wasn't so evident then. There was something within him that wanted wrong things. That's why when the time came that he was old enough and made wrong choices, and quite obvious to us the effects of what had taken place, of the way he was born. I'm not just picking on him. All three of the others were born the same, and they all were the same. I love every one of them so tonight, but there was something fundamentally wrong with the way they were born. Do you know why? Because my parents looked at me, and there was something wrong with the way I was born. Every one of us have been born in sin. David says in the Old Testament, it's not a new truth. He said, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. It just simply could not be any other way. It was not a result of wrong circumstances. It was not a result of wrong influences as we came to an impressionable time in our life. It went far beyond that. It went to the very root. And the cause was is that all the world is born in sin. All the world, as we begin to live and grow, and as we begin to make our own way in life, and we make our choices, we are affected by something that is wrong with us at the core, at the root. We have been born in sin. And that is the number one beginning reason, the fundamental reason. In this very chapter, in John chapter 8, we have a woman who is living in sin. She has been caught in sin. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, so that people would understand there is a cost for offending God, there was a very strict sentence that had been pronounced for that sin. And they came and they wanted to see if the Lord Jesus would carry it out. You know why? Because they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to catch him. They were trying to catch him in a difficult question so they could stump him and make him look to be not who he was. And they didn't understand who they were dealing with. They didn't believe it. And they come leading this woman, red-faced and ashamed, who had been caught in the very act of sin. And hey, listen, I'm not just singling out one sin. It's just the example here. There are many other sins it could have been. There are sins that I have been guilty of that are just as serious before God. There are many other things that you have been guilty of, that even as children are still sin in the sight of God. Lying, cheating, not loving those that are beside us in life, our neighbors, our brothers and our sisters. I was talking to my family, some of my kids on Skype today. The youngest, she got home from school and saw that it was on my computer, and so she Skyped me. And you know what happened? She, of course, was there, prime seat right in front of the laptop, and she left to look out the window, and child number three came and sat down on the seat. Well, you would think that World War III was about to break through. They weren't loving one another. It's a result of a sinful nature. And before God, it is part of living in sin. It's caught in sin. It was more than just the eye of their computer that picked it up, that relayed that to their father. It was relayed all the way back to heaven. I'm not picking on my family tonight. I miss them, and I love them. But I'm using them as an example. I'm doing that so that you might well relate to your own life and be conscious of this. This woman was caught in sin, and they brought her red face to the Lord Jesus, embarrassed that she had been caught. And they thought, no, this is going to be good. He's got no way out. He will have nothing to say. We've got him stumped. And here they bring her to the Lord Jesus and they lay out the charge. This is what she is guilty of. Here is the evidence. He stooped down and he began to write in the dust of the ground. I sometimes wonder what he might have written. I sometimes wonder if he didn't take them right back to the law that had been written in tables of stone by the finger of God. And now he's writing the same commandments on the very dust of the ground. And while they are waiting and the awkward silence draws on, and this woman wonders, what's he going to do with me? And here these people begin to shuffle and shift their feet, and they wonder he's not answering. And they begin to look and see, what exactly is he doing? And they begin to read what he's writing, and they start to think, oh no, anything else, but not that. That's me. I'm a sinner. I have been guilty of sin. From the very oldest to as likely the wisest that read it, they turned and walked away ashamed, convicted by their own conscience, that they themselves, while they did not consider themselves to be the sinner that this woman was, they realized that they themselves were living in sin. And you know what it came to? All of them that day stood before the Lord Jesus. And they came face to face with this truth. I am a sinner. And so did this woman. I am a sinner. I don't know if she'd ever been taken with that before. But she was this time. She stood condemned. The evidence had been leveled. But here were these people, and something they never expected. They stood before the Lord Jesus and realized, He's writing the things that condemn me. The evidence is against me, and they stood condemned as a sinner. You know what the result was? All of those religious people couldn't face it, and they left. If they would have stayed and faced their sin, it could have been forgiven. This was God Himself. This is the one that said, He had the power on earth to forgive sins. But He wouldn't forgive it if they stood there, faced with it, and wouldn't acknowledge it. Instead, they couldn't take the heat, and they left. And here was a woman, and she said, I am a sinner. And she just stood there. She said, I'm going to face this thing. And what happened? The Lord Jesus stood up, and they're all gone. And He turns to her, and she said, oh boy, here it comes. And He said, has nobody condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And with one word, she acknowledged, this is the one that can forgive my sin. This is the one that we have been waiting for as Jews. The one that has the power to do something about my sin. And likely, just at that point in her life, like a woman with many sins, who was so sick of it, so full up to here with sin, her inability to change it, she said, I'm going to speak to Him. Hey, listen, have you ever thought of just facing up to your sin? Or when you've heard something like this, maybe you've never heard something like this. Maybe tonight will be the test to see which person it will be. The woman taken in sin, caught, faced with it, who faces it herself, and goes away with her sin forgiven, and a power to live a life that was different? Or will you be like the other people, with pride and religion inside, a sense of being all right, who says, no, I'm embarrassed. My conscience tells me I'm a sinner, but I'm not going to face it. Still living in your sins, not because God doesn't want to forgive you, but simply because you will not face the fact that I am a sinner. I am living in my sins. Do you know why it's a very solemn thing to live in your sins? Because the Savior said, if you die in your sins, you cannot go to heaven. There will be those who were born in sin that will be in heaven. Because it was forgiven. There are those who lived in sin, but at some point they faced it and their sin was forgiven, and they will be in heaven. But for the person that goes through their whole life and does not face their sin, and they go to meet God, they die in their sins. We have the excellent authority of the Lord Jesus Himself, who says, where I am, you cannot come. To die in your sins is the most serious thing that could ever take place to you in life. Than any problem that has assaulted our world. It's sin. Born in sin. Living in sin. But oh, the awful cost. If you die in your sins. And missing heaven. Because according to the Lord Jesus, He only spoke of one other place. To die in your sins. Is to go to the place where sins are punished. They only go because they refuse God's salvation. They refuse to admit they're a sinner. And God in heaven with all of His power has no choice but to send those who die in their sins to hell forever. We don't think our sin is that serious to us, but it is to God. And the day will come when you will stand before God. And God will bring you to an understanding of just how serious your sin is before Him. He's waiting for you to be saved. He's waiting for you to face your sins so that you can be like this woman that we heard of. Well, we didn't read of her, but you can read it in John chapter 8. The Savior said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and live differently. Go and enjoy eternal life. Go and enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. Because the Lord Jesus was on His way to the cross. To pay for sins as a substitute so you could be in heaven. May you face your sin and receive the forgiveness of sins.
Yes, to die in your sins is an unspeakable tragedy. Christ said so, and he doesn't want it to happen to you. If we die in our sins, we cannot spend eternity with a holy, sin-hating God. We need to be rid of our sin, and rid of it now. We have no guarantee of life even 5 minutes from now, but hear this. Christ has died to put away sin. He finished the work over 2,000 years ago, and the Word of God tells us that he cried from the cross, "It is finished." The work of salvation was completed through the unspeakable sufferings of Christ. Come as an unworthy, hell-bound sinner to Christ and trust him as your own personal Savior. There is no other way. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the Gospel Hall nearest you. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior, and in times like these, you need an anchor.